Well, we had a doctor we liked very much, and she switched from being a primary doctor to being a hospitalist, and so we lost her.
Probably a couple times a week, I would just spend a couple hours making calls.
And that's where I heard the phrase, not accepting patients. And I was like, oh, okay.
And it wasn't until the first several calls when I was being told things like, the wait list is so long, we're not going to even put you on it, that I started to have a sinking feeling about, you know, my odds of finding success.
I started calling just anybody, anywhere. St. Johnsbury, Rutland, everywhere.
And I put in my zip code. I put in South Burlington zip code and says, oh, we have six doctors in your area. It turned out, though, they were all in Randolph, and I looked them up, and they all worked in an OBGYN, and I do not need those services.
No, it's not optional. We're 78, and we have many accumulating physical challenges.
I ended up calling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I called 7 different places, and all but one of them were not accepting patients.
And, you know, everybody that I called tried to be helpful by saying, well, why don't you try so-and-so? And I had already tried them. So it was just one dead end after another. I think I called over 50 providers.
And in fact, one of them was just a name, and I Googled his name, and he is the first thing now that pops up is his obituary.
I mean, I get requests almost daily when I'm at work, and it's just a really tough conversation because it's not that I want to say no, it's just that we sort of have to say no because we're already so overburdened.
Jen Kaufman is a primary care doctor in Vergennes in Addison County. That means she's the entry point for patients into the healthcare system. Jen's an MD, but your primary care provider could also be a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant. And she got into this type of medicine because of the relationships, getting to know patients over the years, from routine visits to end-of-life care.
And that's what you get in primary care, sort of like a little bit of everything, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, but a continued patient connection.
And she recently wrote into Brave Little State with a question about this line of work, her line of work, because in Vermont, it seems like things are not great.
Like, yes, I'm aware that there's a bit of a crisis. And I guess I was really hopeful during the pandemic that I was like, oh, now's the reckoning. Here we go. And that came and went. And things are not better. If anything, they're worse. I mean,
Jen's calling this a crisis because, well, if you've been trying to get an appointment recently, you might know how backed up things are for patients. But according to Jen, it's also untenable for many on the other side of the equation. Like, she's cut back on the number of patients she sees to manage her workload. And a lot of primary care providers have left the field altogether.
I guess I've just been thinking about it a lot. And I guess I'm being a little selfish and like, can we all talk about this? Because this is a big problem for me and a big curiosity for me.
Welcome to Brave Little State, Vermont Public's listener-powered journalism show. In every episode, we answer a question about Vermont that's been asked and voted on by you. Today,
what is the state of primary care in Vermont, and where is it anticipated to go? Why is it so hard to get a primary care provider?
That question about primary care, from a primary care doctor, leads reporter Lexi Krupp to explore this linchpin of the healthcare system.
Primary care, what people are looking for in that situation is to be known.
From how things used to be,
I could see double the number and spend more time with them,
to how things are going now.
At times, we have had 300 plus patients on our wait list.
And then people just don't go to the doctor. And that leads to way more problems down the line.
and to people who are working outside the system to help fill the gaps.
And I love, love, love what I do because I get to see the people instead of just talk to them on the phone, and I just love it.
We're a proud member of the NPR network. Welcome.
Green Mountain Family Practice has been operating for almost 80 years in Northfield, a town in central Vermont of around 6,000 people. For much of its existence, the office has been across the street from Norwich University, at the base of what was once a ski hill.
I'd go up at lunchtime and do three or four runs at the old Norwich skiway. The toboggans would come down off there with broken legs and stuff. They would ski the toboggans down there into the back door of my office, up the ramp, right into the x-ray room.
Dr. Craig Sullivan started there in 1983. In the early days, he worked at the practice with one other doctor. His wife was the office manager. And they did just about everything, going back and forth from the hospital, making house calls, and taking x-rays. His son, Matt, remembers watching all this as a kid.
You'd take the x-ray into a dark room and put it into the different... I still remember you developing x-rays.
Put it in the fixer, put it in the developer, then hang it up on clothespins on a clothesline in there to dry them. That's what we were doing. It was pretty unique.
Craig is semi-retired now. He volunteers at a free clinic in Barrie and helps treat football and hockey players at the university. And he still fills in at the office when it's needed. These days, Matt is the Dr. Sullivan who's in charge, and he gets why things aren't quite like they used to be.
I can see how the healthcare system may not look at some of those things as efficient now. You know, you're doing the job of a tech or somebody else, and you're not working to the highest level of your licensure.
Yeah. Sure.
Today, the office is a lot nicer than when Craig was starting out. There's a lab with all sorts of fancy tech and noisy fans.
Everything, testing all sorts of things, pee, blood, spit, you know, swabs.
Everything.
Swabs of just about anything you can swab. So,
there's a lot more staff, a social worker, a team of nurses.
These are the people that make him look good some days.
Exactly right.
But even with all this staff, Matt is actually seeing fewer patients than his dad did in the 80s. Here's the elder Dr. Sullivan again.
I could see far more patients than Matthew ever sees. I could see double the number and spend more time with them because my charting was very minimal. It was minimal, but I thought it was adequate for what I needed to know for a next visit and everything else. But
that charting he's talking about, or writing notes, it's documentation required in part by insurance companies to bill for a visit. These days, it's a big time suck. Another is this constant negotiation with insurance companies, trying to convince them to greenlight the drugs or tests or other treatments clinicians like Matt say their patients need. Before 8 o'clock in the morning, he had already been dealing with this.
Yeah, I had to sign forms and look in somebody's chart and legitimize why I'm ordering something. Like, of course, it's in my note. Yes, there's a reason why I wanted this asthmatic to have this type of steroid inhaler. Come on. Anyway.
This is actually supposed to get a little better next year, thanks to a new state law allowing doctors to bypass this haggling process in certain instances. But this only applies to some insurances that the state regulates, so not things like Medicaid or Medicare, and only some treatments. It doesn't get rid of this process for most prescriptions, which Matt says actually takes up most of his time. All this behind-the-scenes stuff has really ramped up in the last couple decades. The negotiating, the billing, plus reviewing notes from other doctors, answering messages, and following up on lab results. It takes hours every day and cuts into time seeing patients. In many ways, it makes this really important job sort of suck.
I watch Matthew now and I just go, wow, a different level of stress. My stress was way different. I had a lot of stress, but it was time and it was managing different things. He has a way different level, harder in so many ways.
More than half of residents who train in primary care end up going into specialties or working in hospitals instead, according to a recent report on the status of primary care in the U.S. This is something Matt has witnessed firsthand.
So many people in my residency, some of the most wonderful, brilliant people that I've met in my life. There was 12 of us in my class, and only 4 of them are still providing primary care.
A big reason why comes down to money. In medicine, the money is in the specialties. Those providers get paid more, and those visits are worth more, according to insurance companies. It's been that way for a while.
And that led to a pattern where primary care could barely make money, despite being kind of the linchpin in the healthcare system. It could barely stay afloat, and really couldn't, which is why a lot of practices had to be bought by larger kind of health systems.
That's exactly what happened here. A while back, Craig sold the business in Northfield to a nearby hospital, Central Vermont Medical Center. Then that hospital became part of a bigger system, the University of Vermont Health Network. And even with all this consolidation, the practice here is still in the red.
If you look at the monthly budgets, we lose money over time. And that is both known and anticipated, and that's what the budget, the expected budgets look like, and that's usually how it turns out.
So from the inside of the primary care system, things do not look good. But Vermont actually has a lot going for it, at least on paper. About 9 in 10 adults in the state have a personal health care provider, according to a recent survey from the Department of Health. That's higher than the national average and consistent pretty much across the state. And while the number of doctors in primary care is not growing, we have way more nurse practitioners and physician assistants in the field than we used to. But here's the rub. Patient needs are higher. Mental health issues are more common, and on average, Vermonters are older and sicker than they used to be. That's true for patients as well as the doctors treating them. A lot of primary care docs are near retirement. A third are over 60, as of a few years ago. All these stats mean while a lot of Vermonters do have a primary care provider, those clinicians, like Matt, are overloaded. Many work part-time or switch to working in hospitals or specialties instead. Remember, that's where the money is. So for the 10% or so of people who don't have a provider, good luck. If you're persistent, eventually you'll probably get an appointment. It's just going to be a long wait. We'll be right back. One thing Dr. Jen Kaufman, our winning question asker, wants to know is just how many more primary care providers does Vermont need to meet patient demand?
What does that number look like, sort of like statewide? And then how does that translate to the actual population? I'm really curious about that. Like, what is this deficit looking like?
When we talked about this, I was a bit presumptuous.
I mean, I think that should be knowable.
Yeah.
So it's great, actually.
Yeah.
Because I can give you that.
The U.S. Department of Health keeps track of shortage areas for primary care. For every state, they list how many providers are needed to boost the workforce. It was just updated. Only it says the number of primary care providers needed in Vermont... zero, which doesn't seem right. So to figure out what was going on, I started making calls.
Hey, this is Lexi Krupp calling from Vermont
calling
Public.
From Vermont Public. Hey, this is I talked to several people at the Department of Health, people working on recruitment for primary care in Vermont, and healthcare policy experts. I learned there's no magic number for how many primary care clinicians you need to keep everyone healthy. One person I emailed told me that number is such a moving target that no one wants to hazard a guess. And then I met Dr. Ann Morris.
And we are currently sitting outside our office, and it's fantastic. It'll be the only sunshine that I get today.
Anne works at UVM's family medicine practice in Milton. She dug up a report from a national research group that tried to estimate how many more doctors we need in the state to meet patient demand. It doesn't include nurse practitioners or physician assistants, and it's an old number, but it's the only real data point we could find.
But this is from, just to be clear, I think it's from 2010.
Okay.
So it's old, but it hasn't been updated.
Yeah.
It says on top of the 600 or so primary care docs we have, we'll need 120 additional doctors by 2030. At least that was the number back when the report was made. Anne thinks the need is even greater today.
Either we need to hire two times the number of doctors, or we need to figure out the systems changes to allow the docs that we currently have to meet those full-time needs.
She's thinking about this stuff a lot because she runs the only family medicine residency program in the state at the University of Vermont. That's where doctors finish their last few years of training before going into primary care. And by the way, family medicine technically falls under the primary care umbrella, along with things like pediatrics and internal medicine. The UVM program graduates six doctors a year. It's been that way since the program started. And Anne says the reason training doctors in Vermont is so important is that most people end up staying close by. Anne's really involved with advocacy on the state level to get more doctors to come here and stay. Things like forgiving student loans and spending more money on primary care. Because if not,
it's going to be bad.
It will be bleak.
There are some bright spots here. There's a second family medicine residency program in the works. This one will be geared towards serving rural parts of the state, in Morrisville, St. Albans, Randolph, and Rutland. If all goes according to plan, they'll have their first class of new doctors in 2026, around 6 to 8 a year. The state also allocated millions of dollars to fund over 70 new positions for mental health and addiction specialists at primary care practices across the state. It's to expand an existing program that's been a big help at clinics like Anne's.
And it's cool because we have the social worker and the nurse who are with us, and so we're providing that wraparound support, and it's not just...
Those new positions, though, are only guaranteed funding for the next 2 years. So there's a lot being done within our healthcare system to make it work better. Then there's what's already happening totally outside the system. Like in a dozen towns in Vermont, there's something called a community nurse.
Knock, knock. Hello.
Hello.
Sunny Martinson is the community nurse for Thetford, a town in Orange County. She's retired from working as a triage nurse at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. And she's been in this part-time role for the past year.
I brought you a present. Come on.
Every Wednesday, she visits Richard Starr, an 80-year-old who used to teach middle school woodshop and lives in the house he built himself. Today, he has issues with his memory and mobility. Sunny comes over to fill his meds, but she ends up doing a lot more.
So I've found that I'm also managing, like last fall his refrigerator broke, so I had to help him get a new refrigerator, and or this driveway is impossible, and he didn't even have anyone to plow it until January. He had no snow tires for the car. So, I mean, I'm doing more than just filling the pill box, but anyway.
On this day, she brings Richard the newspaper with a list of community events. They talk about installing a railing on his spiral staircase, and she looks at his blood pressure readings.
You were supposed to be writing these down, remember?
Yeah, I was, and I haven't for a few days. But if you press that left-hand button, it'll just tell you what
they
were.
I know, but it doesn't tell me...
And what she's doing, it's not a replacement for a doctor. But she fills a gap in Richard's life that the traditional healthcare system just isn't set up for. Sunny and I say goodbye to Richard after about an hour.
All right, Richard, be good. And this is if I'm gone. By the way, Richard, I'm going to be gone for 10 days in June.
So I set up the extra pills.
Sunny works with about 30 clients regularly, mostly older adults. Some she sees every week. For others, it's less often.
Sometimes there are real medical needs, but more than anything, you keep hearing about, you know, people who are isolated in rural Vermont. Boy, are they isolated. So I think they just like to have people visit.
What's sort of radical about this is it's totally free for the people who live in Thetford. Over 250 people in town have called on the nurse over the past few years. Here, a nonprofit pays for the position, mostly funded by grants, with a small portion coming from the town. In other places, like Tunbridge, the position is entirely taxpayer-funded. And the model is expanding. Hartford and Putney, Vermont, and Lyme, New Hampshire, are currently hiring for a community nurse position. That means more people like Sunny to look out for patients.
I love these people. I just wish I could help them more, you know, because we are a rural community.
Yeah.
And they don't get, a lot of them don't have primary care docs or family.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. And thanks to Jen Kaufman and Virgens for the great question. To submit your own question about Vermont, our region, or its people, head to our website, bravelittlestate.org. That's also where you can cast a vote for one of three listener question finalists to decide the topic of an upcoming episode. Brave Little State, by the way, is public media. We make this show for you, with you, and we also rely on you for support. So if you like what we're doing, the very best way to support this show is to make a gift to Vermont Public right now. And consider setting up a recurring monthly donation. The equivalent of a cup of coffee a month would seriously go a long way. To do all this, head to bravelittlestate.org/donate, or just click the link in your show notes. And thank you. This episode was reported by Lexi Krupp and produced by Burgess Brown. Editing and additional production from the rest of the BLS team, that's Sabine Pooks and me, Josh Crane. Angela Evansy is our executive producer. Theme music by Ty Gibbons. Other music by Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to Sophie Stevens, Bobby Groves, Alex Spieler, John Holmer, Gary Drown, Paul Capcara, Jessa Bernard, Susan White, Stuart May, Yalda Jabapur, Margaret Gayden, Lee Lopresti, Faye Homan, John Saroyan, Jess Moore, Sheila Keating, Kristen Barnum, John Olson, and Stephanie Paliuka. We're a proud member of the NPR network. We'll be back soon with more people-powered Vermont journalism. Until then...